Good evening, everyone. I want to certainly thank everyone for having the opportunity to come into the presence of the Lord. And I certainly want to thank my fellow workers, pastors, and the team, and certainly Pastor Tucker and his wife, that we can have the privilege of working together along with all of the pastors and all of the workers and all of the Christian workers and teachers of righteousness that God will have. I count that a privilege. And so tonight, I really am very much humbled with the opportunity of sharing a few words that the Lord gives me. I said, Lord, I would certainly appreciate it if you would give me more words, you know. And so I look at it, and very simply, what he spoke to me was expect it to happen. Expect it to happen. I'll introduce my dear little wife over there who had the opportunity to be a nurse to me, too. The last time I had an accident, she was my 24/7 nurse, and, you know, it saved me a lot of money. I didn't have to pay for it, right? So, sweetheart, if you want to stand up, you would do that for me, please, dear. But she gave me a word of caution. She said to me, don't you dare do anything again that would cause me to have to take care of you because I've done all I can. All right? And so I took that word of caution. Now, so when she tells me, you be careful, you can't do that, I pay attention. As you know, I've had the opportunity to have fractured vertebrae in my back. One time, it was for 3 months, and then I had a month off. The Lord healed me, and it was wonderful. I could do whatever I wanted to. And then the next thing, I was driving a car, and I passed out driving a car. And I went up into this fellow's front lawn, knocked down a couple of his favorite trees, and knocked over his marker and ended up in a wood pile. So I came to. The truth of the matter, I was very frightened. I didn't know if I was in heaven. I didn't know if I was in hell. So I looked around to see if there was any demons, you know, and there wasn't any. So I looked around to see if there was any angels, and there wasn't any. So I decided that I'd best come to, that I had been in an accident. And that's exactly what happened. But consequently, I thank you for your prayers. I certainly do, one another. And I look to the Lord to speak to our hearts tonight. Just a few words. In expect it to happen, I'm going to give something that I trust you will be able to grasp it. I want to just mention shortly somebody we well know by the name of Moses, and then another person that we well know by the name of Dr. Bailey. Now, both of these men expected to have it happen. Moses, he expected to go into the promised land. He most certainly did. His sole purpose was to go into the promised land. And he didn't make it, as we well know. He could observe it, but he did not make it. And then I want to look over to the New Testament pattern and pick up with Dr. Bailey. There was no question in my mind that he intended to come through the last day revival. He most certainly did. And right up to the end, I never heard him say otherwise. You know, the truth of the matter is, Moses had to turn over the chalice to Joshua, and Dr. Bailey didn't get a chance to turn the chalice over because he never thought he would have to. So there was an expectancy for revival to happen, but it didn't happen. And it comes down to my everyday life. I want to share some things from a different perspective of revival. I certainly want to see revival. I said, Lord, you have prepared my heart for years after years after years. And my whole concept and desire is to see the move of God come upon the church, come upon Zion Fellowship, come upon you and I, so that we in turn can share that and come upon nations. Everything in me is involved in that. I live for that as you do. And, you know, and I'm saying, Lord, I expect it to happen. And so I trust tonight with a few little words that we're going to share that it will be that you will expect it to happen. I'm going to give a couple illustrations. One would be that a pianist Sunday night was playing piano, and after service he came over to me and said, can I share something with you? Why, of course you can share something with me. I'm 79 years old. Share what you want, all right? So he's sharing with me. He said, you know, when I was playing the piano, he said, I thought the Lord was coming right then. He said, the presence of the Lord was, I expected the Lord to come right now, then. He said, it was amazing. And I said, oh, wow, I wish he did. I said, you know, but the point is, the expectancy in our youth is there. And it should be in all of us. So please, I want you to understand that. And now I want to use another illustration, if you allow me to. I had to get permission for this one, all right? I certainly did. And I got permission for this. I would like to ask you the question, how many expect that Sister Suzette will be a bride? Put your hand up in the air. All right. Now, my next little point is, ye are my witnesses. So you have witnessed that you expect her to be a bride. Then the next thing, you expect her to be a wife. The next thing, you expect her to be a helpmate. The next thing, you expect her with her husband to hit the mark in evangelizing the word of God in the next move of God in Africa. There it is. We are witnesses. Now, I'll tell a little story, just a real short one. Pastor Tucker will probably cringe at this one, but, you know, I you know, had to go to him to make sure that I behave, right? And so I got this vision of Suzette, and I saw Suzette in Africa. And she was just as happy as could be. She had the biggest smile on, and she was just working away for the Lord, and there she was. And I said, oh, I've got to go tell Suzette. So I ran down the stairs and went over to her office. I'm going to tell Suzette. All right, just had something from the Lord, and I knew it was true. And I forgot to knock at the door. So I opened the door, and she looked at me, and I got one of those looks that I hadn't seen from her for a long time. It was a scowl. It was, you are interfering. I am on the phone. No words were said. I just backed it out, shut the door, and said, Lord, this must not be the time. You know? And, you know, later on, Pastor Tucker said, that was wisdom, brother. It was not the time. Well, I want to look at ye are my witnesses. And I would like to quote Isaiah 43, verse 10. It goes, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen. You know, we become the message that we speak. We become that message. And when the Lord has said, we are his witnesses, he wants us to be the message of Zion wherever we go, whether we are at home, at work, or whether we are out speaking to nations. I have a very dear daughter. I have two daughters, but one is a child care director, and I have to work with her. Even though I'm the administrator, she's the boss, all right? And so she says, Dad, you're not looking too joyful. I said, what's the matter, honey? She said, look at your face. I wasn't a very good witness, but I would assume that some of you could have very good company with me sometimes when throughout the day where you're walking and you're, you know, you're exposed to the public, that they look at your face and they say, oh, same as us, look at them. You know, and let the Lord speak to our hearts about we are witnesses. And I'm going to be very, very personal in some areas, all right? You know, God is expecting us to have a vision of where God intends to bring us to. He expects us to have a vision. And that vision is to the top of the mountain of spiritual Mount Zion. He expects us to have a vision. And here we have this little verse, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant. A servant does what the master tells him to do. That's very clear. And when the Lord gives us a vision and he tends us to go up to the mountain, he wants us to come to the top of the mountain, obviously. Why does he want to do that? He wants to prepare a people, and we have heard it. I enjoy these messages tremendously. He wants to prepare a people for his appearance first in his church. He wants to prepare a people for his appearance in his church. So we must become his servants in the Lord's house first. It's very hard for someone who has not learned how to be a servant in the Lord's house to want to go out to nations and say, I'm going to be a servant for the Lord and I'm going to win them for the Lord. You have got to be a witness in the local church where you're at. You've got to be a servant and you've got to be hands-on to what you're asked to do. You know, I say that because I certainly believe that. You know, the reason why we have those situations is because I have learned to want to say yes when I'm asked to do something. And sometimes I say at my age, well, I have the right to say what I want to do. And the Lord says, you don't have any rights. How do you have any rights? Look what I've done for you, you know. And I look at that little verse out there, I am the resurrection and the life. I said, Lord, I know that's true, right? And I know that's true. And when I know that's true, then I know I have no rights. I want to look at the very next verse or two in Isaiah 43, verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You know, I was in Bible school years ago, quite a few years ago, like 47, give or take. I'd have to ask Pastor Paul Karam exactly what that is, but I think it was about 47 years, give or take. And I was on outstation, and the verse that I was speaking on was just this. Behold, God will do a new thing. It was birthed in my spirit. And I wasn't talking about the charismatic move. I was talking about that God had put something in my spirit that he was going to do new. Now, 47 years later, here I am saying, expect it to happen. It's going to happen now, and I know it's going to happen now. It's been witnessed in my spirit. The Word of God tells us that. In the spirit, it's alive to that. And here we are, 47 years later, saying, now, Lord, your promise is going to be true. Now, through this period of time, you know, I have to understand something. God's promises must be expected to be fulfilled. How are they going to be fulfilled? They're going to be fulfilled in us. And you know what happens? We become targets for the oppression, pressure of the enemy. We become targets. And the Lord spoke to me about something in my own life. He said, these pressures have got to be withstood. Somebody has to stand up in the name of the Lord. Somebody has got to withstand the pressures that the enemy puts on us. And they are real. The pressures of the enemy are real. He tries his best to get in our heads thought after thought, thought after thought, thought after thought. Sometimes I have to put my hands on the back of my head and plead the blood and speak in tongues and say, Lord, grace, 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 please, Lord, stop it. I can't stand it. You know, and just as soon as you get a little pressure off, then he comes back again, right? Back again. And, you know, but this has got to be withstood. We have got to get the victory and stand our place with what God has spoken to us. And, you know, I understand something. You know, sometimes we have to face the enemy face to face. I went to Concord, New Hampshire, and I was there, I don't know how long, for a while, and I had this vision. I said, Lord, wow. Up over, there's a golden dome up over the Capitol, and in the spirit realm, there was two demons, and they were looking at one another with their hands, just like you would think over the mercy seat, the chairman, and I looked at them. I said, oh, no, Lord, what are they? And he described the names of each one. And I said, Lord, I have no power over that. He said, no, you don't. But I'm showing you what you need to have for victory. And you know what happened to me? My old flesh kicked in. And I said, I don't want to fight those demons. I think it would be best for me to get a U-Haul truck and put my belongings in it and head someplace else where there's not two demons sitting up over there looking at me and saying, do you want to fight? I said, no, I don't want to fight, but I want to have the victory, right? I want to have the victory. So I'm just like, I would say, some of us, when we come face to face with the enemy and we are tested, and I understood, now I understand, I was tested to see whether or not I wanted to go higher up the mountain. We are tested to see if we want to go higher up the mountain. And I understand that. I said, well, Lord, I need understanding. And I want to look at the next little thing for time, and it has to do with praise. Praise is most effective in warfare. In Revelation 19, verses 5 and 7, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. All ye servants that fear him, praise him. Then it goes, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. You know, we want to be in the bride. And I was thinking when I was courting my wife, when I looked at her, I didn't tell her I didn't like her mascara, and I didn't like what color she had over her lids, you know, eyelids there. I didn't like whether she had eyebrows or eyelids that stick out who knows what back and forth, you know. In fact, I was in courtship, and I was sure I didn't say anything negative. But it's amazing how what happens, the tune changes when we get married. Oh, I am learning after 50 years, sometimes it's best for you to just shut your mouth. Because I'm saying things that I would never have said when I wanted her to be my bride. So I understand this spiritual principle that praise is what God wants to come from us, because praise is what will win his heart, and praise is what will take spiritual warfare to our hearts. And so, you know, when we fear God, we keep all of his commandments. Otherwise, something happens. If we don't fear God, we don't keep his commandments, and we undermine his commandments. Yes, we do. We start coming up with excuses. We start to interpret the context of Scripture differently because we are not keeping his commandments. So what happens? We fall back in the area where we become those who undermine. And God help us that we want to be those that would fear him and praise him and be his servants and keep all of his commandments. When we fear the Lord and we understand that we would be glad and rejoice, I want to say something that is very real to me, and it's found in Psalm 51. Verse 7, it says, we must be glad and rejoice and praise to the Lord. And so in order to qualify and be ready for the bride and for marriage, we have to rejoice. And I had quite a time with Dr. Bailey. You know, he would speak to me, and I tried my best to rejoice. Oh, what a trial I've had to be able to rejoice. I want to rejoice, but I realize rejoicing has to do with praise, and it delights the Lord's heart, and then he will come to the people that have a rejoicing spirit. And so, you know, I learned a lesson here a little while ago, like right quickly, a couple months ago, and it's found in Psalm 51, verse 8. Make me to know joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. I have had two fractured bones in my back. The first time it happened, I was a complainer, and then the Lord healed me. But you know what happened? I went back to my old ways of not always rejoicing over what takes place in my life. And I used to wonder how Pastor Bailey could rejoice all the time. How can he rejoice all the time? He's going through this, he's going through that. I think I learned a little secret. When the Lord breaks your spiritual bones, sometimes it has something to do with your physical bones. And I said, Lord, please, I really don't think I have to do it again. I think I got the message. You want me to be a rejoicing person who expects revival to come. And unless we are a rejoicing spirit, I would say the candidacy be in revival is pretty slim. God wants a rejoicing people. So there we have, all right? Now I want to look at what the Lord has to prove our heart. In Psalm 17, verse 3, thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. I mention Moses because he expected to go into the promised land. And what happened? His spirit got stirred up. His spirit got stirred up. And when his spirit got stirred up, he said something from his mouth that he shouldn't have. And the Lord said, I told you once. I didn't tell you twice. But he got stirred up. And he said something that his mouth caused him to lose the opportunity to go into his inheritance. And I'm well aware of the fact that my mouth can keep me from coming into the inheritance that God has for us. I am well aware of that. And I am saying, Lord, please prove my mouth. Let it be proven that you have control of it and I don't. And I just share that. All right. That little verse was in Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 2. Visited me in the night. You know, we need to have a desire for the Lord in the nighttime. Sometimes we go to sleep and boy, we say, Lord, if I could just have a good night's sleep. And then here's what happens. My heart waketh the Lord in my sleep. You know, then what happens? Do we say, oh, Lord, that's you? And we roll over and we say, I'm going to have more fellowship with Brother Pillow and Sister Sheet. You know? And then, you know, the Lord awakens us time and time again. And sometimes I've gotten to the point where I said, Lord, you know, I really don't know if this is you or not. So I get up and I go out. And sometimes I look at the clock. I said, oh, my goodness, surely the Lord doesn't call at 2:30 in the morning. You know, Surely he doesn't call that 3 and 4. Oh, surely he does. And so I've learned something. I've learned that if I want to praise the Lord when he awakens us from our sleep, then we have got to be obedient and go to whatever, where we meet with the Lord and wait on him to see if it is him or if it is not. And I want to look at Job chapter 35, verse 10. But none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night? Who giveth songs in the night? Oh, yes, he does. He gives us songs in the night, and we'll wake up singing them. We'll wake up singing the song of the Lord. You wake up at night singing the songs that the Lord gives. It is a very, very wonderful thing. And in Psalm 77, verse 6, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. You know, I've learned to call to remembrance my song in the night. In my spirit, I want to sing it all day long. Whatever the song might be, we can sing it. And, you know, this is one of the secrets that I am learning in praise, that I have to pay attention what happens at night. I have to pay attention if the Lord is awakening me out of my sleep. I have to pay attention if it's the songs in the night. I have to pay attention if it's something that he wants to linger in my spirit. I have to pay attention to that, and I'm learning that. Well, I want to look at point number 3 and look at leadership and guidance. Leadership and guidance. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 19. Arise, cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street. I know this is speaking of when the city was under siege. I understand that. But the principle here is what the Lord was speaking something to my heart is that we must realize that there is danger ahead. There is danger ahead. And we must cry out to the Lord for the life of the sheep. Pastors, we have sheep. Leaders in the fellowship, we have sheep. Missionaries, where you go to other nations, you have sheep. And we are to cry out for sheep. You know why? Sheep are senseless. They have no clue sometimes that there's any danger around. And it's up to the watchman to cry out to God and ask God for mercy. We are to protect our younger generation. Our younger generation has yet to see the hand of God move. It's up to us. We are responsible to have a change in the spirit and cry out to God for the protection of the millions of young people who have no clue of the danger that's hanging over their head. And it's up to us to understand and cry out and ask God. We are responsible. We are responsible. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 13. He's speaking about Jehoshaphat there when he was having trouble. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Oh, how we have a heart's desire to let our wives and our children and our little ones and our grandchildren come before the Lord. Oh, yes, we are responsible. We are responsible to cry out to God and say, God, please, in leadership and guidance, do something that they will be brought in. I just don't want to make heaven and not have any of my children or inheritance or sheep with me. We certainly want to cry out for the young ones, our wives, our children, our grandchildren. Yes, we do. We want to take them with us. Amen? Yes, we most certainly do. And we need to have a shepherd on watch over sheep. Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7, you're very familiar with this. I have set watchmen upon the walls, O Jerusalem, which will never hold their peace day or night. You will make mention of the Lord, keep not silent, and give him no rest. You know, till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. This is a full promise to Zion Fellowship. We are to be warriors of revival. not just expect revival. We are to be watchmen. We are to be warriors to preserve our promise that God has for Zion Fellowship, and we are not to be silent. Let praise issue out of our innermost beings. Let praise that will delight the Lord's heart and will bring him into our fellowship and bring him into his presence come with us that would delight him. We must be warriors, not only for our families, but we must be warriors for revival. It's right at our doorsteps. You can almost smell it spiritually. You can sense it. You can sense it, and we need to understand. God has given us a promise. And I would like to say to the Lord, now, how is this going to happen? And I'm going to read Psalm 134, verses 1 to 3. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and we sure do that, don't we? And bless the Lord. The Lord has made heaven and earth. Bless thee out of Zion. We are kings and priests, and we are to establish a ministry of praise in our own lives, and then we are to establish a ministry of praise in our household, establish a ministry of praise in the church. We are responsible to establish a ministry of praise. Now, I understand something. God chooses who will come and bless his name. We just can't come and be part-time God blessers. You know, he's not interested in Sunday morning specials. He's interested in people that will bless his name. They have a ministry in blessing his name. He's looking for full-time ministry out of us, Zionites. He wants to give us a ministry of praise and worship. And let the Lord speak to our heart. He chooses who will stand in his house. And you know, I heard this morning one of the subjects that delights my heart. The Lord will choose who will stand before his presence in the Holy of Holies. We can have the letter. We can have the message. But the Lord will be the one who chooses. And it will happen when we will praise him and give him no rest and stand before him. You know, it's very precious to be able to give praises to God while passing through darkness. It's very precious to the Lord to have things that literally it seems like all darkness is around us. And we have the ministry of praise. I have found out something that is very precious to the Lord, to be able to praise him out of a thankful heart when things seem so dark. You know, I'm not going into the treasures of darkness, but you know, I've learned something. Sometimes going through experiences, we just don't understand. We just don't understand. And the Lord says, I want to hear praise and rejoicing come from you. We don't need to ask the Lord, Lord, I'll do that after you tell me why. No, he wants us to do it constantly, to rejoice. I am just learning the value of having a rejoicing spirit. Believe me, I wish that I had had it years ago. I am just learning. So I guess, you know, old people can learn new things. Thank the Lord, right? But I am learning. And so we want to look at something. You know, we're serving a God of abundance, and he wants to show himself to us. And I'm learning something, that I have to be sensitive to each season we are in. I need to sense what is coming ahead spiritually. This is why I started out with, do we expect revival? Do we know that we are in the season when spiritually we are to expect the revival that the Lord has promised? That's the season that we're in. And, you know, following that through, at nighttime, We can have growth in our spirits. You know, sometimes people have bad dreams, nightmares, and they live with it for days. And I'm learning this, that my spirit can grow too. When the Lord is speaking to me in the spirit in the nighttime, it strengthens my spirit, just like when they have those other little things, it takes them down. And so I'm learning that very carefully at night, that we have to be careful. And I'm learning this too, and I'm passing along. I can't choose when I will serve the Lord. I can't choose that, or I can't choose where I'll serve the Lord. But this I have learned. I cannot afford to miss one season. Any season I go through, I must please the Lord, especially the season of the Last Day Revival. I need to please Him. I need to please Him. It would be a big mistake if I miss it. All through eternity, I will be reminded that I had an opportunity to be in the Last Day Revival, and I didn't please the Lord when and where what I was doing. I didn't please the Lord in praise. I didn't please the Lord in worship and rejoicing. I made a mistake. We can't afford to make mistakes. We're at the very precipice of the revival that God has promised. And, you know, we'll realize that all through eternity. But what I want to realize all through eternity, how precious it was for the Lord to put His hands around us and bring us into the season and know what it is, and we are aware of it, and we can make the adjustments and let God speak to our hearts. Now, in closing, it's Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall bring forth fruit in an old age, and they shall be fat and flourishing. You know what? They shall bring forth fruit in old age. The church has been going on for 2,000 years. That's an old church. And right at the time of the old church that you and I find ourselves, the Lord wants us to be fat, and He wants us to be flourishing spiritually. Spiritually. I want to put this very clear to us, that at the end of the church age, God wants His people to have something for other people to eat on, and that they will be able to feed them, and He wants us to flourish. You know what that means? He wants us to multiply. Where we go, He wants to expand us. He wants us to say there is a flourishing ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in His church. There it is. All right? So once we can be fat and flourishing and eat all of the bread of life that we could possibly eat and delight the Lord's heart doing it. There it is. Now, I want to share one little example, and we're closing. The message of Zion Fellowship leaders, it comes from an impartation from the Holy Spirit. It takes more than a letter. It takes from an impartation of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to know, we are responsible for the gift that God gives us. We cannot walk away from it with clean hands. God gives us a gift of the message of Zion that's imparted into our spirits. We cannot walk away from that gift. We will be responsible for that. And let the Lord speak to our hearts. God bursts in our hearts what He wants us to ask for. When we're asking for revival, it's because God has birthed that in our hearts. That's why we expect. That's why we expect revival. God has birthed it in our hearts. That's why we expect it. And we need to follow through with it. Say the Lord speak to our hearts with it. Now, I know this is a cliche. You know, believers are receivers. I understand that. And I know that doubters are withouters. And so that's why I hope somehow tonight you expect it to happen. In this last little closing thought, down in Costa Rica, Pastor Sharp has a father, and he was there before him. And he built this beautiful house. And over time, he vacated the house, and Pastor Sharp decided that he would take this building, tear it down, and build a house. So when he started to tear the building down, he found out that there was decay and ants and all type of things that destroyed some of the wood. But there was good wood. There was good wood. And so he took the good wood, and he took it to another position, and he built another house, a very good house. And the Lord spoke something to me about this, and I'm going to share it with you. We have been through a transition. And I believe the Lord is saying in the old work up until now, he has a new position for us. He has a new position in the spirit. But he wants to work with us as the wood was examined. That which was not valuable was discarded. And that which was valuable and could meet the inspection of the carpenters was used in another location, and it was made to build a house. Now, I want to spiritualize this, if you allow me to. God is building a new house. It is that which will inhabit his praises. It's that which will have his dwelling place. It's that which will have all that God wants to give, just like in Psalm 87. It says, and all that God has springs within Zion. Everything God wants to give to the church will be found flowing out from Zion. But it will take a new building. A new building. I thank God for Pastor Bailey. I love him. He's my spiritual father. But he's enjoying the presence of God. Very much so. And I know that we have to build a new building that's built on the foundation of what God says he's going to do now. And I understand that. And I am saying, I'm passing it along. Expect it to happen. I want to be part of that new opportunity, that new position that God is giving us, so that we can be part of the church that will bring honor and glory to our Lord. Certainly, we are giving an opportunity, and we have to expect it to happen. Amen? Amen. Amen. If it would be allowable, if you would like to be a believer and a receiver, and part of that new building that God is doing, let's just stand up and pray.